Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning Ashara. I guess you could say we are Arav Yom Hadin, Arav Rosh Hashanah. We are learning, first of all, Zeichu Nishmasa and Lilui Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, May her Neshama have an Aliyah in the merit of our Torah. We are also learning as Zizchus, Refuah Shalema, for Shifra, Yehudis, Basi Alpha Leah, Shabizocha, Terachem, Yishamayim, Vesoros Tovos, and a complete Refuah, the Karov.
Amen.
Amen. We're on page 190. You know what? With that, I'm going to start with how I was actually going to end. Okay? I'm going to start with how I was going to end. I'm going to read you a piece from this past week's Mishpacha. Maybe some of you saw it, maybe some of you did not. We're really beginning with a bakasha and a tefila for a refuah. It's not going to be like an hour off tangent. But I think it's very tongue-in-cheek. I'm powerful. I read it out at the beginning of a number of classes or at the end of a number of classes this week. It's called, if you saw it, bear with me, I'm not asking for much. As the new year is rapidly approaching, I'm relieved to know, it's from Family First. As the new year is rapidly approaching, I'm relieved to know that this year I'm not asking for too much. Oh, there were years when I had big asks. A spouse when I was single, a child when I was married, a new house, a new job. I begged God, I promised, I bargained, I pleaded, which was stressful. Who wants to be begging all the time? It's good to know that this year I don't need to barter good deeds for favors. Besides, so many of my own resolutions that I take upon myself go unfulfilled anyway. No, this year I'm not looking for much at all. Thank goodness, you know, just health, happiness, sustenance, the usual. Oh, and of course I want the same for my husband and my kids and my parents, obviously, and his parents and all of our siblings, his and mine, and our friends and our neighbors too. No man is an island after all. But really, God, it feels good. I don't have to ask for a lot this year. I mean, I would like my mental faculties intact next year, my ability to walk, my ability to talk, peripheral vision, very important, balance, vertigo is awful, I hear. It's imperative that I have a car, gasoline, and money to buy things when I get to the places where I'm going. I want my children to call if they're going to be late. So wait, I need a phone, God, that works. I need my children to be healthy to get to the places where they want to go. I want my mouth to be free of canker sores. I want my vertebrae to be aligned. I do not want to have ulcers. I want my memory to stay strong. I want my friends to be supportive, but not in that pushy, in-your-face kind of way. I want my husband to love me. I want to love him too. So, we'll both probably need to keep on working on all the stuff couples work on every day. Compassion, sharing, equanimity. Wait, emotional well-being. I'll need plenty of that too. I want to have a chance to cook a lot. I want to be able to read the recipe with accurate vision. I want to be capable of moving around my own kitchen to get the ingredients. I want a stove to cook stuff on inside a house that's mine. I want people to feed around my table. I want a table. I want my children to succeed. I want them to be kind. I want them to grow in every way, but please God, a normal way. Nothing drastic or off the charts. Good, healthy growth. Good, healthy kids. I want them to run around. I want them to make messes, to forget to clean their rooms because they're too busy with their lives. I want them to have lives. I want my family to be proud of me, to be pleased with me, to love me. I want to be proud and pleased and love them too. I want to be able to say that to them and have them hear it and understand it with good working minds. I want them to have open, accepting hearts. I want the people who are sick to get better. I want the people who are poor to have enough money. I want the people who are fighting with each other to find peace. I want to be safe from hurricanes this year. I want the world to treat the Jews better. And I want the Jews to treat the Jews better. I want peace of mind this year. This is actually related to our shir. I want a connection with my Creator that comes from a place of gratitude, warmth, and love. Not a connection with my Creator from fear or hardship. I want to be busy this year with only good things. I want to realize the good thing I have. I don't want to be exasperated. I want to appreciate the laundry. Laundry means we have clothing. Laundry means we can move around and get dirty and we can clean up after ourselves. I want to appreciate carpool. Carpool means I have kids. First exclamation mark in the whole article. I want time. Exclamation mark. I need time to do all the things I have promised myself I would do. I want time to take an art class. I want time to clean my junk drawer. I need time to work on my patience. I want my coffee hot. I want my ice cream cold. And I want to be able to swallow hot and cold, both without difficulty. You know, some people can't swallow. I don't want that this year, God. I want days that are full, but not overwhelming. I want to be challenged, but only challenged by an excess of happiness. I want to rise to the challenge. I want to please God. I want to be thankful this year. I want to be serene. I only want every single thing I had last year, plus all the things I didn't have yet, plus all the things I wished I could have had, plus all the things I don't even know I need yet. But Rosh Hashanah is almost here. And I have not made any personal resolutions. I haven't really changed. I haven't worked yet too hard on myself. I haven't managed to make time to barter with God or to examine my deeds. So it's a good thing, God, I'm not asking for too much this year. It's very powerful. It was in this week's Family First.
I read it. It was wonderful.
Maya Al-Zor. And I read it in... I read it. Come, ladies. I read it in a number of my classes, both at the beginning and then. And it's tongue-in-cheek. But it's extremely... It's a lesson. And it's extremely accurate. Ya'el Zolden. Okay. So... We should have refuos and besoros tovos for all cholim in the coming year. Ladies, we're on page 190, please. Okay? So last time we did one sentence. This time we're going to hopefully do a little more. Okay, we're on page 190. Each soul, this is the sentence we had a whole shiur on last time. If you missed it, you could catch it online. Each soul comes into this world to fulfill a minimum quota of suffering. One who understands what's going on, he cannot escape suffering, prefers to willfully assume it by working to become close to Hashem without receiving satisfaction. So the whole end piece of this chapter has been on suffering through coming close to Hashem. In other words, realizing you're not close enough to Hashem. It causes you da'aga, it causes you pain, it causes you tsa'ar, it causes you worry, you want to be closer to Hashem. You suffer because you're not close enough to Hashem. And halavai, says the author, you're the mechaber, that your suffering should be from that, rather than suffering in some other manner. When one does not understand this, he tries to escape this kind of suffering, and he wants to live in peace. This is alluded to regarding the life of, it's right there, ladies, regarding the life of Yaakov Avinu. So the Torah tells us, right in the beginning of Vayeshev, Yaakov finally finishes working for Lavan, and he makes it back home after Sukkos, and he spends 22 years getting home. And the Pasuk says, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Al, Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megure Aviv. Yaakov dwelled in the land of his father's sojourns, Be'eretz Canaan. Ela told us Yaakov, these are the offspring of Yaakov. Yosef was 17 years old. He was a shepherd with his brothers, with the flocks, and he was a lad. He hung out with Bilhah and Zilpah. Why did he hang out? I'm sorry, he didn't hang out with Bilhah and Zilpah. He hung out with the sons of, because I wasn't reading the Lashon, Esbenei Bilhah, Esbenei Zilpah. He hung out with the sons of the of Zilpah and Bilhah. Vayava Yosef Estibasamra Lavim. So Rashi tells us, why does the parasha begin with the word Vayeshev? Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Aviv. Why doesn't it say Vayagar Yaakov Eretz Megurei Aviv? Shev, it really means like to what? To sit down, to have a seat. So it's translated as he settled. What?
Is it a temporary word?
No. Vayeshev means, I want to sit down, I want to relax, I want to have a seat. Okay. So Rashi says, it's Pasuk Aleph that says Vayeshev, but Rashi is to Pasuk Beis. But Od Nidrashbo, Vayeshev, what does it mean Yaakov dwelled or settled or sat in the land of Canaan? Bikesh Yaakov Leshev, remember famous Rashi?
Bishalva.
Yaakov wanted tranquility. Someone pointed out in my flap was shir this morning because we were talking about the word teshuva and all the applications, the root word shin beis and how many applications it has and what we learn from all the connected words that come out from that root. But she pointed out that one of them is, it was what I told shir, but yishuv hadas, but it really relates here. Vayeshev, what did Yaakov just want finally? Some yishuv hadas, he just wants his peace of mind. My mind should be settled. My mind should be tranquil. It should be at ease. Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva. You answer, everybody wants life. Kafatz alav ragzo shel Yosef. The trouble with Yosef jumped upon him. Tzadikim mevakshim leishev b'shalva. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, you want to have some shalva, you want to have some menuchas nefesh, you want to have some yishuv adas, some tranquility and calmness of the mind. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, the Almighty, lo dayan letzadikim, it's not enough for the righteous. Masha misukon lahem olam haba, the reward that you will get in the eternal world of truth. Ella shemevakshim leishev b'shalva ba'olam haza. You know, your reward is in the next world. It's not enough that you're going to get a reward there and you're going to have eternity of the soul. You want it where? Here also. Kafatz alav ragzo shel Yosef. The trouble of Yosef jumped upon him, came upon him. The Almighty said, down here there is no sense of true shalva. There's no sense of eternal yishuv. It doesn't happen in this world. And this is here what the Mechaber quotes. Yaakov wished only to dwell in peace and tranquility. He was overwhelmed by the agony he suffered over Yosef. Furthermore, Rashi tells us, even more explicitly, that when the brothers were going back down to Egypt, okay, this is 43:14, Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Yud Dalet, when the brothers are going back down to Egypt, so the Pasuk says that Yaakov said to them, Kel Shakai, my God Almighty, Yitein Lachem Rachamim, should give you mercy, the Fnei Ha'ish, before the viceroy. He at this point does not know that it is Yosef. V'shilach Chames Achichem Acher, Ves Binyamin, he should free Shimon. Shimon's been in jail for 2 years. And Binyamin, and as for me, as I've been bereaved, I have been bereaved. So Rashi says there, why does Yaakov use the name for Hashem, Kel Shakai, Shin and Dal Danir? Why doesn't he say Hashem? Why doesn't he say Elohim? Why doesn't he say, I don't know, Adon Ho'olam? Why does he say Kel Shakai? So Shakai, Shin and Dalid, Danir, has the word Dai, as in Dayin. It is enough. So Rashi says, Misha Amar La'olam Dai, he who said enough to the world. What does that mean? When Hashem created the world, he came to a point where he said he was enough. If he would have kept creating, the world as we know would not have existed. He stopped creating. There was a limit to creation. He's Mechalish V'tu V'chayim Tamid, but there's a limit to, there's a boundaries to the sea. There's a limit to how many arms I have. Shem said in Ma'aseh Bereishis, die. At this point, it's enough. Misha Amar La'olam, die. He who said to the world, enough. Yomar, die. Letzarosai. He should say enough to my troubles. Shelo shakatati min urai. I have not had any peace and quiet, says Yaakov, from my youth. Tzaros Lavan. I slaved away over there by the trickster, the Arami, for 20 years. Tzaras Esav, my brother wanted to kill me. I had to run away. When I came back, I thought he wanted to kill me again. Tzaras Rachel, Mesa Alai Rachel B'derech, Od Kibras Arz Lavo. The passage is backwards the way I said it. They're almost there, and Rachel dies. Tzaras Dina. Dina was abducted by Shechem and violated. Tzaras Yosef. Yosef has been lost. Tzaras Shimon. Shimon was lost 2 years ago. Tzaras Binyamin, and now Binyamin. Misha Amar Dai La'olam, Yomar Dai L'Tzarasai. He who said enough to the world should say enough to my troubles. When one does not understand this, says the Mechaber, he tries to escape this kind of suffering, he wants to live in peace. This is alluded to in the Chazal. So, I mean, it's very hard to say this, what the Mechaber, the connection he's making with Yaakov Avinu, but this is the lesson. I'm not sure what the lesson is, that we shouldn't ask for too much peace and quiet here. We do ask. We daven for it. We want it. We should... Yizochot have a menuchas nefesh and the refuas and the yushuv hadas, so we could serve the Ribbono Shalom in the proper way. I just want to share with you a really unbelievable sifri that my son brought this home. My son in the summer went to a shir of Rabbi Penner. I've told this over a couple of venues, but it's very powerful. Talking about Yaakov Avinu and the tzaros that he had, but no matter the tzaros he had, he never left the Ribbono Shalom. He was the Bechir Shabbos, the choicest of the patriarchs, and he always maintained his tremendous emunah, his faith and his trust in God, and he never left him. So Free says something unbelievable in Parshas Vechanan. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is God, Hashem is one. What are we saying when we say the Shema Yisrael? We think we're saying a declaration of faith. We are not, we think. We're saying a declaration of faith. Hashem is Rachamim, Elokeinu is Din, the same God who gives us Rachamim, also at times manifests through Midas HaDin. So Free here says something unbelievable. Shema Yisrael, listen. Who's Yisrael? What?
Yaakov.
Oh. Listen to this. Lefi shahaya Yaakov mifached kol yamav. Yaakov was afraid all his life. Omer, oily. Shema teitzei mimeni pesoles kederach shiyatza mevasai. Woe unto me. Maybe pesoles. How would you translate that? Like Like puzzle, something that's puzzle is nullified. What?
Defective.
Okay, thank you. Maybe something defective will come out from me, like came out from my fathers. Avram, yatsa mimenu Yishmael. Avram was a tzaddik, but he had Yishmael. Yitzchak, yatsa mimenu Esav. Look at my twin brother. So he was nervous. Achi Yishmael, oved avodah zarah, said Yaakov. Wait a second, if my grandfather had a puzzle child and my father had a puzzle child, maybe I too, my own brother was an oved avodah zarah. Aval ani, who was his tefillah, lo teitzei menu psolas, kederach sheyatzu me'avosai. I should not have any psolas in my offspring. I should not have defective strain, if you will. Some child who was puzzle, I came up with my forefathers. V'kein who Omer, like the pasuk says after the famous dream, Vayider Yaakov neder lemor. Yaakov Avinu took an oath and he said to God, if you return me, b'shalom el beis avi. And what does Rashi say there? You should be shalem. Shai Yaakov Avinu mar im ya lo kim imadi v'nasan li lachem echol uvegad lilbosh v'shavti b'shalom el beis avi. If God gives me on my way to Lavan's house clothing to wear and food to eat, and I return b'shalom el beis avi, God will be for me a king. What is b'shalom? You should be complete. Hashem will be for me a God. Sheyichol shmol alai shelo titzei mimenu psolas mitchila ad sof. Hashem, Yaakov said, Hashem should dwell on me, so to speak. Should rest His presence on me. Should give me that I should not have psolas in my zera, defect in my offspring from beginning to end. V'chein atamot se kishenifter Yaakov avinu min ha'olam karalam levanav. And so you find that when Yaakov was nifter, by the way, I don't know if I've said it here before, but I learned something else from Rabbi Penner. Okay, this is the Sifri, but my son brought the soul sheet home after Rabbi Penner's share. I learned something else from Rabbi Penner 2 Shavuos ago. Niftar, just interestingly, maybe I've said it, maybe I've not, he actually gave a shear on the stages of the Yitzias of the Neshama once the Neshama has gone. When we talk about death, that generally in Lashon HaKodesh, we say that the person has been niftar. It really means, wow, what's the word? What's the root? Pater. It means they're pater from mitzvos. That's what you're really saying. In our terminology, in our clean positive terminology, what we're saying is that this person is pater from mitzvos. Because in death, they can no longer keep the mitzvos. So how do we maschar our learning when we say it's an aliyah neshama? It's a true aliyah neshama because that neshama cannot maschar anymore. They are pater from a mitzvah. Through our zechusim in their merit, they maschar. Just very, very interesting as an aside. So Yaakov was worried on his deathbed. Maybe I will have a psolas. V'kein atamot kishen niftar Yaakov avinu me'olam. When his time came to depart from this world, kara lahem levanav. He called his children. V'hochichan perek mem tes kol echad ve'echad b'fnei atzmo. He gave everyone. We call it Birkas Yaakov. He also gave them some mussar like my son taught me. He learned last year, his rabbi told him, Rabbi Frischman told him, the best love or the best, I don't know, that musr is like wonderful. Tochacha is wonderful if a person can accept it because it's really meant to better you. He gave everyone tochacha, chastisement. V'chazar v'karav sam kulam ke'echad, and he called them back. Amar lahem shema yesh lechem bilvavchem machlokes al misha amar v'haya ha'olam. Misha amar dai la'olam, yamar dai la'tzaros. He says, Rashi, Yaakov Avinu called him, and he says, wait a minute. Do you maybe have machlokas? Is your heart divided? Machlokas really means division, chaluk. Is your heart divided over the one who said, v'haya ha'olam? Maybe you saw the tzaros that I went through, and your heart is divided over the Rebbe Shalom, Misha amar v'haya ha'olam. Amrulo, shamanu, we have heard you, Father, k'shem she'ein b'libcha machlokas. Just like there is no machlokas, there is no division in your heart over God. Kach ein bilibeinu machlokas. So too, there is not any division in our heart over God. This is exactly what Rashi says, by the way. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol madacha. So Rashi says, b'chol levavcha shelo ya libcha chaluk al hamakom. Perek. Vav pasuk hey in devar shelo ya libcha chaluk al hamakom. That's exactly what it says. When we say the Shema Yisrael v'ahavta, you shall love Hashem God with all your heart. What does it mean with all your heart? Shelo ya libcha, your heart should not be chaluk al hamakom, divided over the ways of God. So what is Shema Yisrael? Hear Yaakov Avinu. What you were worried about, that your descendants, your progeny, we are called the Bnei Yisrael. We're not called the Bnei Avram. And we're now called the Bnei Yitzchak, even though we could be, and then we would not think it's weird. We're called the Bnei Yisrael. We are saying to Yaakov Avinu, who's stuck by the Ribbono Shel Olam with full, intact amuna, Dai letzarosai, tzaras Dina, tzaras Lavan, tzaras Esav, tzaras Yosef, tzaras Binyamin, tzaras Yishmael, osha katati minu rai. Nevertheless, his libcha was not chalok al hamakom. His heart was not divided over the ways of God. And he said to his children at the end of days, is your heart divided? And what do they say, the Shiftei Ka? Shema Yisrael, hear, O Father. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We accept the omnipotency and the oneness. What a brilliant pshat. So you should know, since my son told it to me, it was the end of Camp Katie Learning Kollel program. So like towards the end of August, it really changed my Shema Yisrael. It's just a very interesting perspective. When you say Shema Yisrael, that yes, we're accepting the Almighty, the Kabbalah's Al Malchu Shemayim, but we are in a sense reassuring Yaakov Avinu that what you are so nervous about has not come to fruition. All of your descendants, look at Yidden through the generations, until their dying days, Rabbi Akiva, until their dying days, we have declared with great faith, Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael. Here, O Yaakov, we all declare, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is God, Hashem is one. Yes.
It's very fascinating. I'm coming in the middle over here, but
what the middle? Yes. You're not coming in the middle.
Well, I'm coming in the middle of the thought, but
oh.
It's interesting that Shema Yisrael is what people say at the time of their Petira.
When the soul is going up to Yeshiva Shamala to bask in the glory of the Shechina and join the Yeshiva with the Avos, we're sort of saying, Yaakov, here we come. We're declaring in a sense. Okay? I thought you were going to say what someone mentioned to me, that it's very interesting that that's what Yaakov was doing when he met Yosef after all those years. He was talking to himself. I was just talking to a Rav today about a certain Indian, and I said, what does Hashem want from me? He says, you have to be mechazik yourself. It's very interesting. Somebody pointed out to me, Shema Yisrael, at the moment that Yaakov meets Yosef, he's not hugging him, he's not crying. What's he doing? He's Osek Bishma. What, he's missed the man Kriya Shema? All of a sudden he has to go daven? He's saying, Shema Yisrael, listen, Yaakov, now you see the resolution to all those years of pain. Now that you have met your long-lost son, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, he's being mechazek. The Rav just said to me today, you need to be mechazek yourself. He's being mechazek his own self. Look how much I suffered, and nevertheless, I maintained my staunch faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. That thought was shared with me by Michelle Berger, and I thought it was very, very profound. So, let's go back to Sefer. When one does not understand this, he tries to escape this kind of suffering and wants to live in peace. We do want to live in peace. I think for us on our level, I think on any level, it's okay to daven for peace. Yaakov said, "V'shafti b'shalom al beis avi." This is alluded to in Chazal. Yaakov wished to dwell in peace. We said that already. Okay, let's go. You must persist for a long time. Excuse me. Does anyone have questions? Is that clear what we just explained, that whole piece? Okay. You must persist in for a long time in building up your ratzon. You have to want, even when it remains unfulfilled. So sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we don't have a strong desire. You have to keep going. Only when you reach this degree of ratzon, this degree of desire, as our forefather Avram cried, so we just spoke about Yaakov and Yosef. Yosef became like one of the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Yuli. What am I saying? Menashe, Ephraim, Reuven, Shimon, Yuli. Yosef had the status of a patriarch because his sons became Shvatim. Did you hear what I just said? Yosef, I don't remember who I read that from. Yosef had the status of one of the Avos because his sons became Shvatim. That's exactly right. Now we move to Avram Avinu. You must persist for a long time in building up your desire, your cheshek, that doesn't help, ratzon, desire, even when it remains unfulfilled. Only when you reach this degree of desire, as Avram Avinu cried, so the pasuk in Lashon HaKodesh, Lashon of Tehillim is, Hoshi'eni Elokim ki ba'u mayim ad nefesh, save me, God, because the floodwaters have overwhelmed my soul, will Hashem reveal the true light, so that you will feel him. So this is really, really interesting. It's interesting we didn't get to it last week, we're only getting it to this week. When did Avram Avinu, I don't know if anyone remembers, we learned that here, sometime within the last year. When did Avraham Avinu cry out that the floodwaters were overwhelming him?
When he was taking Yitzhak to the Ola, the carbon and the...
Beautiful. We learn the Medrash Tanchuma inside. It's interesting. We learn the Medrash Tanchuma inside. So just yesterday, okay, let me repeat it. When did Avram cry out? I'm going to not say the whole Medrash Tanchuma. We learned the whole thing inside. I don't remember at what point it was. Joanna, do you remember? I say that with tremendous respect and not being facetious. Okay? So Avram Avinu on his way to the Akedah. Why is it so relevant that we're doing this tonight?
Rosh Hashanah.
Because Akriyas HaTorah Rosh Hashanah. So let us remind ourselves briefly, of the Tanchuma. Okay, it's Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Vayir. So Avram Avinu is going to shecht his son. He's going to slaughter his son. You know, it's so interesting. Sometimes we're so used to the stories, the narratives, a ma'isim that happened to our forefathers. We don't really understand stories. So I was learning with somebody with special needs. And Kriya Satora is high functioning, Baruch Hashem. Rosh Hashanah, and I shouldn't have even gone there. But I mentioned something about that Keda. What is that? I'm talking about an adult. What is that? So then I had to get into Hashem told Aram to shacht his son. What does shacht mean? Quote, kill. This person knows shacht means kill. So she says, what? So I said, yes, Hashem commanded Aram to shacht Yitzchak. Why would Hashem do that? And sometimes we're so used to it's Kriyas HaTorah, it's Perichov Beis, it was Aram's 10th test, according to some. I realized I had to get out of this topic very, very quickly. Hashem, save me. Because sometimes there's a way for us to understand certain things, and certainly for somebody of a different level of intelligence. But it was like an eye-opener. Because the reality is, we're so used to it that when you hear that for the first time, you really do think to yourself, what?
What? My 4-year-old grandson?
I need you to talk a little louder.
My 4-year-old grandson, I guess in his Rebbe, in his Cheder. So he must have learned about Akedah Yitzchak, and as my daughter's putting him to bed, he goes, is Abba going to take a knife?
Oh.
Like he, and she thought it was really, because she never had that, or her other kids never had it. And he was scared that his father was going to take
Shechtem,
because, you know, he's a from man, and if that's, you know...
Because if you try and remove yourself from the familiarity with the Torah narrative, we say in the Zichronos, Akedas Yitzhak Hayom Berachmim Tizkor, on this person who is in their 20s. And as soon as I started it, I realized this was not going to be going well. And what? They said, yes, Aram was commanded to shacht Yitzchak. Why would Hashem tell him to do that? And I just, we quickly switched it up. Because there's no way to explain it to somebody of, I said in the end, he didn't, and he saved him.
It was a test of his faith. It's not so.
Yeah. It's not on that level. Kadmo has satan bederach. My point is that there's something to learn from that comment. There's something to learn from what she said to me, which is that sometimes you're supposed to be afraid when you're reading Kedas Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah. Supposed to be at the edge of your seat. Is he going to be shachted? What's going on here? How could I understand this? We're just too used to it, so it doesn't even move me anymore. There's a point to what she said, and there's a reason why I'm sharing this. It's a Musar Haskel. Think about this. What are you reading here? What is the Torah teaching me here? So we can understand it's a test of his faith, but I should be jolted. It shouldn't be such a boring story that I know from ever. Kadmo was Satan bedarach, v'nidmelo kidmusa kain. The Satan met him in the image of an old man, and he said to him, I'm not going to read the whole thing in Lashon HaKodesh. Where are you going? Translation is my own. Lihit palal. I'm going to daven. Amar lo mi shaholech lihit palal. Lama eish uma achalas biyado. Someone is going to daven, you have fire and a knife, the eitzim al kesefo, and you have some wood, some tree branches on your shoulder. Excuse me, Avram answered, yeah, maybe we'll be delayed a day or two, we'll need to shecht something, we'll bake, we'll eat. So he said to him, Zakein, you're an old man. Sorry. Thank you. So they said to him, excuse me. Thank you. 1 second, please. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvaro.
Amen.
He said to him, old man, I was there when the Almighty said to you, Kachnas Bincha, take your son, and an old man like you is going, and you're going to kill your son that was given to you after 100 years. And if you think you're going to have another son, I'm skipping a little. So then, first the Satan appears as an old man. Now he appears as a young man. Lebachur, nidme lebachur, va'amar al yimino shal Yitzchak. So it didn't work with Avram. Avram keeps going. So he appears to Yitzchak and he says to Yitzchak, wa'ana taholeich, where are you going? Amarlo, he said, lo mo Torah. Avram's going to daven. Yitzchak's going to learn Torah. So he said, b'chayacha o b'misascha. The Satan said, you're really going to learn Torah? Are you going to learn Torah in your life or in your death? Okay. And the Satan said, is there a man who could learn after death? And the Satan said to Yitzchak, wicked one, son of a wretched one, how many fasts your mother fasted until you were born? And now this old man is taking you to shecht you. Nevertheless, said Yitzchak, I will not be over the will of my creator and the command of my father. The Satan goes back to his father. I'm skipping. I don't want to go through the whole Mishnah Truma we did a few weeks ago. Okay. Kevan shel ra'a, the Satan sees shelo kiblu mimenu. They're not listening to him. Everything he tries is not working. Halach v'nasa lefneihem nahar gadol, which is what you remember. The Satan sees that Aram is determined to go, and Yitzchak is determined to go, and he cannot stop them. What does he make before them? Nahar gadol, a great river. Miyad yarad Aram l'tocha mayim. Avram goes into the water, nothing can stop him. Vihigiu ad birkav, it comes up to his birkayim,
knees.
Amar l'nara bo acharai, he said to his lads, who is accompanying him to the Akedah?
L'shmal
and Eliezer. Is that what you said? Yardu l'acharai, come in, kevin shigiu ad chatzi, anar higiu hamayim ad savaro. Where's the water up to?
His neck.
But also sha'a tala Avram eina v'lashamayim. Avram looked heavenward, and Amar, and he said, Ribono shel olam, God, master of the world, v'chartani v'horisani v'niglesali, you have chosen me, you have taught me, you appeared to me, v'amar tali, and you said to me, ani achi v'ata achi, I am singular, Avram was a lone voice in the world, and you, God, are singular. Al yadcha yivader shmi ba'olami, v'ala Yitzchak bin chalafani le'olam lo ikavti. You told me that through my taking of Yitzchak, your name will be known to the world, and I did not delay. V'hareini osik b'tzuvecha, I am involved in your mitzvah, v'achsho ba'u mayim ad nefesh, ah, hoshieni elokim ki ba'u mayim ad nefesh. And now water has come up to my soul. Where am I up to? Here we go. Imanio Yitzchak b'nitoveya mi kayem amarcha. If I drown or Yitzchak drowns, who will carry out your command? Amiyat Yached Shimcha, going back to Hashem Echad. How will the oneness of God's name be known in the world? Amar lo akosh, baruch hu chayach, I swear by your life, she'al yadcha yisyachit shmi ba'olam. Miyad, ga'ar kosh baruch hu es hamayan, God stopped up the spring, v'yavasha nehar, the raging river dried up, v'amdu b'yavasha. And he stood where? On the shore, on the dry land. And this here is what this pasuk is referring to. I have to tell you the coolest thing, that yesterday, I don't know if this is the coolest thing or what we said already, this is one of the coolest things, but every day the OU sends out a halacha yomis. It's very, very interesting. I quote them often in different classes on different topics. It's a short teaching from the OU, a halacha day. Yesterday's was, why do we recite, it might be yesterday or the day before, why do we recite Tashach on Rosh Hashanah? And then I am preparing the shir. Listen to this. The first written source for this custom, by the way, is found in the Maharil, 14th century. This is from 1300s, so we're talking about 700 years ago, though the Maharil indicates it was a much earlier custom. So the first source for Tashlich is 700 years ago. The Maharil presents the custom as follows. This is what he writes. On Rosh Hashanah, after the meal, it is customary to go to a river or sea and throw away our sins. He does not explain how the sins are discarded. The Ramah, or Chaim, explains the sins are expunged by reciting the phrase, V'tashlich b'metzulas yam kol chatosenu. You will cast into the depths of the sea all sins. The basis for the custom of going to a river is Medrash Tanchuma. Vayera! When Avram went to perform Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, the Satan attempted to prevent him from reaching his destination by placing a deep river in his path. We just read the Lashon inside. Avram was undeterred. When the water reached his neck, Avram cried out and the river disappeared. According to the Zohar, did you ever know this? Because I don't know if I knew this. Akedas Yitzchak took place on Rosh Hashanah. Oh, you knew that. Some of you are nodding yes. So according to the Zohar, Akedas Yitzchak took place on Rosh Hashanah. To remember Avram's Mesiras Nefesh on Rosh Hashanah, the raging river he almost drowned in to get to the Akedah, his inability to give in to the Satan, we go to the river to simulate, in a sense, that we are throwing away our Satan. Our Yetzirah, how apropos that we read about the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah, and then go to a river to metaphysically throw away our sins. Therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, we go to a river to commemorate the Mesiras Nefesh, the self-sacrifice of Avram. In this merit, we ask God to forgive our children, his children, to forgive Avram's children of our sins. Although this is the primary reason for Tashach, just to finish one more interesting paragraph, there are many other reasons for this custom. For example, in the Rosh Hashanah Machzor of Salvechik, the Rav suggests it was customary to anoint a king by the river as a sign that his reign should continue. So too on Rosh Hashanah, which is called, the Rav calls it elsewhere, Coronation Day. HaMelech HaYoshev al Kisei Ram Venisa. HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat. To indicate that it is Coronation Day, that we coronate God, we go down to the river, we proclaim Hashem as King, and therefore we do so at the river. But I really thought it was fascinating that Mamash, it's good we didn't get here last week, it was Bashar, because here we are learning first from Yaakov Avinu and his Da'aga, one of the tenets of our faith, is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkein Hashem Echad, and the other tenet of our faith is the Akedas Yitzchak. Because to us, on our level, as absurd as it is, and if you think of it objectively, it's very difficult. It does not make sense to the human mind. However, it's a testament of our faith. Only when you reach this degree of Ratzon, let's go back to the Sefer, as Avram Avinu cried, when did he cry it out? Now we all know. He's in the river. Why is he in the river? Who made the river? The Satan. Where is he on his way to? The Akedah. What day was it? Rosh Hashanah. Halavai, we should be zocha that when we cry, Hoshi'eini Elokim ki ba'o mayim ad nefesh, Hashem will reveal His true light. We should also be zocha to appreciate, to revere, to understand a little bit of what it means that Hashem is the Melech. But as long as the Ratzon is not strong enough to trouble you, it does not live with you each moment, the light of Hashem cannot truly rest upon you. And it's a big Mr. Haska as we go into this time period where there are so many mitzvos. There are so many unique mitzvos in the month of Tishrei. And we have to ask ourselves, are you doing them with Ratzon? Not you. Am I doing them with Ratzon? Do I have that desire strongly every moment to live with Hashem? When I look back on my year, I have to ask myself, how is my Ratzon and my Avodas Hashem? I'll share with you a beautiful verse. Does not live with you each moment. The light of Hashem cannot truly rest upon you. Let's finish before I share anything else. Then I'm going to end with a story from Rav Biederman, a short story from Rav Biederman, and then we will say Tehillim Be'ezras Hashem for Besuros Tovus and Refuos. May Hashem help us to desire the true Ratzon. Halavai Balatar Messiah Oso Ha Masecha Suma. To attain it, may He satisfy that Ratzon. As it says, then you will delight upon Hashem. So I'm going to finish with a daily clip by Rav Elimelech Biederman, and then we will go to Tehillim. So, and I rewatched it. It was from September 18th. I rewatched it, preparing for Shir to make sure I had it accurate. So he said about 30 years ago, there was a terrible tragedy in Eretz Yisrael. In Be'er Sheva, two boys were hiking in the south, and they got lost. It's Rav Biederman in Yiddish with English subtitles. They got lost, and they weren't sure where they were, and they managed to find their way back to civilization, and they came to the train tracks, and they realized that, Baruch Hashem, they'll be found now. They'll wait here. The train will pass by. They got on the train. They were so tired from being lost and exhausted, and it was dark and it was late. They fell asleep. One of them fell asleep on the tracks. One of them fell asleep off the tracks. And the train is coming, and he notices with his big lights, there's somebody on the tracks, and the train is honking, and the train is honking, and the boy is fast asleep. Or says Rav Biederman, maybe he heard in his sleep, but he thought, I don't have to wake up yet. I have time. I'll wake up later. And the train's honking, and it's coming, and the boy's not moving. The boy lost his life. I don't know if it's a true story or not. It has a very strong nimshal. So Rav Biederman says, how much did that boy need to move? 100 miles? Or whatever measurement they used. Meters, I think it was. 50 meters? 10 meters? He needed to move just a little bit. Just wake up and move a little bit. On the Tkiya shofar, when the shofar blows, he wants you to be the long jump in the Olympics. He wants you to go from here to there in one fell swoop. I can't do it. What did the conductor want? What did the train horn want? What does the shofar want? What does the melech HaKadosh want? Just move a little bit. And that move, that change, that jump, that action, but make it lasting. V'charta b'chayim, Moshe says in this week's parsha, l'man tichya, alto v'zorecha, charecha, kihu chayecha, v'orech yamecha. Moshe says, I give before you, chayim tov bracha. Life, good, blessing. Maves, ra, kala, death, bad, and curse. And we have a choice when the shofar blows, when we come to Elo, when we prepare for Yom HaDin. Yaakov wanted some Shavuot. He didn't get it, but he never gave up on the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shema Yisrael. Avram was undeterred. He kept moving. And when the train whistle blew, all that boy had to do was move a little bit. All we have to do, says Rav Biderman, is move a little bit, but make the move lasting. Show the Ribbono Shel Olam you're choosing life. Get off the tracks. Get off the bad way. Laman Tichya. So that you will live. Ata v'zorecha acharecha. There's only one chayim. Kihu chayecha. Ba'orechemecha. We should all be inscribed, you and your families. Chayisho b'chol makam shehem. Va'akasiva v'chasima tova. Ashana tova u'masuka. It should be a year for Klal Yisrael all over the world. A year that is only sweet and always good. Amen v'amen v'ezros Hashem.